Wonderful. Awesome. Well, welcome everyone to a bright and sunny May LH1 Live. It is exciting how fast time is flying. And we're just getting months and months closer to LH1 conference is all I keep thinking about. So I was doing some brainstorming and kind of thinking, obviously we've been talking about topics and just trying to keep it really kind of fun and lively, but have a really good variety because obviously that's what makes it most beneficial for this call. And so I turned to ChatGPT and I was like, "Hey, ChatGPT, I am," and then kind of described LH1 Live and like the purpose of the call. And obviously, the purpose of this call is that it's our call, and we're here to support each other. And this group has everyone affected to super recent to not so recent, and it's been 20 years or something. So the range is pretty wide. And I think one of the coolest things too, and I think I've said this for years, is LH1 doesn't have an age because being just newly affected as a female, like I could be talking to somebody else, female, newly affected, and we're talking about makeup. It doesn't really matter like the age because there's some things that we're all going through, some things I would say that we're all going through very similarly as we kind of trek through vision loss and just kind of whether it's daily life, kind of tips and tricks and things like that, or it's conquering new things like having a family, building a family, but then also keeping a career and having a new career. So there's all kind of so many similarities. So ChatGPT and I were having this long conversation about kind of so it could build the basis, so it kind of understood our community. And I asked it to give me three topic ideas so we could kind of where we were going to go from there. And honestly, the topic ideas it gave us were like, yep, been there, done that. So I wrote back to ChatGPT. I was like, these are pretty standard topics. Some of them were like tips and tricks, which we did a couple months ago. Some were kind of talking through like small wins and highlights, which we totally did. My response back to AI was just like, hey, we've kind of covered these topics. Can you come up with something original? And I wrote back, fair, dot, dot, dot. And so I was like, wait a second, what if actually the conversation kind of steers to how are we blind, visually impaired, like students, professionals, just people living their lives, grandparents, people and parents and just great people out there. How are we using AI and what's been most beneficial? And I'll kind of give the example how I went from there. So came home and I was looking to like quick make some eggs the next morning. And I knew that the expiration date was on one side of the carton, but couldn't read it. So I took a picture of the end of the carton, put it into ChatGPT, and I said, tell me what this is a picture of and give me all the information I need. And so it said, like, sure, Jessica, your eggs expire. And it said it expired 3 days ago. They're like, however, based on food, health and food guidelines, because this is the best by date, you could actually continue to use your eggs 7 days past date, blah, blah, blah. So this whole information. And not that we don't think that like Be My Eyes and all of that is awesome. There's some really cool apps out there. But what I really valued about what it told me was probably more information than the surface level that just like Be My Eyes or something else would just give me. The context of like that I did some food research on Food and Drug Administration things of like health guidelines of using your eggs. I was like, that's fantastic. So, wanted to kind of go through, like, gosh, there's so many AI tools. There's Gemini, there's ChatGPT, there's Claude, there's Opus. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there. But my question really is to the group of like, what is everyone using for tools? Why are they using those? Why are they choosing that specific tool? And like, kind of, how are they kind of making that work? And I wanted to kind of open it up to it being professional when you're in your job, but also daily life. So I reached out to Sarah Nappi, our assistive technology guru in-house and I asked her the same question since she wasn't able to make the call. I'm like, what do you use? What's your best advice? And like, what would you tell us to be able to share, if you were able to join the call? And her feedback was very interesting. Her feedback to me was, I think AI is great. I don't trust it. I don't think it's correct. And I would fact check it all day long. The one I use the best and the most is Gemini. And that's kind of my go-to one for that. And she's like, and also one of the biggest takeaways that I've seen of benefit for assistive technology is that Gemini is actually able to take PDFs that are not readable or accessible, and make them in accessible documents. And I was like, that's a super easy win that I think that we've battled with for years and years as people that use various technologies. If there's a PDF that's completely flat and we can't read it, being able to get it transformed into an accessible document is perfect. The one thing I wanted to highlight is when she said that, like, don't trust it and I don't use it all the time, or don't trust it and I get it always fact check. I actually will say I agree with that 50%. So I'm in tech. We use AI all day long, all the time. And yeah, I do think there's some validity to making sure you're checking its work. I always joke that it's like having a whole lot of engineering interns, like they're just going to spit out a lot of information at you to like show off and show they're great, but are they correct is the question. And just to kind of know a little, kind of be that one step ahead. But there are, I mean, there is a lot of accuracy to it. I do think there needs to be some fact check, but, I'd almost kind of disagree with her statement of like, it not always being right. And it's not always, the go-to tool. I prefer Claude, but I think it just kind of depends on, usage. So that whole conversation just sparked that I wanted to like then open it up and ask, what is everybody else using and why? So I'll pause there with all that information.
This is Mark from Seattle. And on your fact-checking thing, this is interesting because I had a conversation with a friend about this. About a week ago, I arrived at the ferry dock, and with my vision, I can't tell if this giant boat is there or not. Mm-hmm. And so I start asking ChatGPT, it's about 2:00 in the afternoon. I say, when does the next ferry come? It looks it up. It says it comes at 4:00 in the afternoon. I thought, well, great. I got 2 hours to wait around. At about a minute or two later, the boat went honk and then pulled away from the dock. And no I was way. Like, if it would have said the boat's here right now, I probably would have been able to make it. So there are little things that I probably over time it's going to get better and better. But I also agree on the fact checking. There's a city right next to Seattle in the suburbs, and my good friend said it was in one county. And I said, it's a 5-minute drive. There's no way it's in another county. He said, look, he asked ChatGPT. It said Snohomish County. And I said, let's look it up on Google. We looked it up. It says King County. I said, yes, of course, it's King County. So upon checking ChatGPT the second time, it changed its mind and said, no, it's in King County.
Yeah, you so can definitely, like, you can, what's that in lawyer speak? You can, like, lead the defendants. Like, yeah, that's kind of tricky. Yeah. And I'm sure that'll evolve, but kind of like that real time, especially kind of being able to assess schedules, that's interesting. And also noted that, is that the right source for us, especially when we are using public transit for that? It's a great call. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who else is using it?
Depends on how you ask it, because you can ask it phrases a little different, the questions, and you will get some different answers.
That's true.
If you kind of talk slang to it or abbreviate, or it'll definitely give you a little bit of different every once in a while.
Yeah, and I think that's consistent, I would say, across all of the AI various platforms, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's sort of my fact checkers. I may rephrase it again, and I'll get something a little more, maybe more specific or less specific, depending on how it's phrased.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
This is Matt. I use these things, but one I want to mention is Live Read. I think I mentioned it the other day on the assistive technology call. It's an iOS app, and you know, for reading things, like, I feel like it's a very quick way. Sometimes I don't know which magnesium supplement is which, right? And so magnifier, I don't know. Even if you have the latest phone, the camera will still be bad, I don't know, or my camera is smudged. because I will zoom in and it's blurry and I'm just like, what's the point of this? But the Live Read app, it's free, and all it does is read. You open it and it just point your phone and it's reading, and like it works every time for me. Whenever I needed to speak stuff, I mean, it's not gonna do, as you said, like with your eggs, it's not gonna summarize anything. It's like literal, right? What I see is what I'm gonna read out. And it might miss the expiration dates because sometimes they're like red and like, from my memory, I don't know what they look like, to be honest. But when I could see, like on milk, plastic milk, I don't know, they were always faint to me, I thought. Or in this weird font that's like dashes and dots.
Yes, exactly. That makes it hard.
Yeah. So I don't. So, but the chat GPT OCR processing probably can, you know, understand that. The document thing that you mentioned, I used to work in education, and now like that's a very cool thing because that was my whole job. But you know, you can't like, I would be in the same boat. You can't trust. You still need to review. And like in my business, we have policies that are like, you don't publish anything that hasn't been human reviewed. You know, because these things are wild. So, you know, still like, but I think that are cool encyclopedias. They could give you cool training. Like, don't make it write your essay, but make it teach you how to write an essay, right? Like teach me how to write an essay. College essay and whatever is the thing your instructor wants it in, right? Chicago or whatever. And then don't make it write it for you, so then you don't get like plagiarism. I mean, that's how you should be using it. That's my opinion on it. You know, like it's a tool. Make it work as a tool. At the creative part, it's still like odd, in my opinion, all the creative things it does. Make it move stuff around for you. It can totally take things from here to there. It can take hundreds of things and move them way faster than we can. Those are very understandable tasks. But then like all the creative stuff, like, whew, like just use that as idea making, I guess. That's my opinion on, you know, all of them. Like you said, ChatGPT, Claude, all the things. And then understand who runs those companies. The Anthropic, the Claude is like, they're saying, you know, we have a ethical foundation. ChatGPT, you look that one up. It, you know, it doesn't have that kind of stance. I don't know. Yeah. So that, I would say, consider that too.
Is Live Read better than seeing AI?
It's not that it's better. It's, well, it's, so it's subjective to me because like it's faster. What do you want it to do? Your goal is to read the stuff, right? Seeing AI has color recognition and money and all this stuff, and it might land on that page or who knows. All Live Read does is read. It opens, it's reading. So take it, if you think it's better now for what you want to do, it could be. I want to read my, I have like some droppers, right? Like, some lemon balm, and I don't want to sniff it and figure it out by sniffing it. Like I said, I'll use the magnifier and it's blurry, and I zoom in and it switches camera when you zoom in sometimes from a distance or if you're really close, and my cameras are smudged, and then it's just like, but somehow I get the AI Live Read app to read it. So yeah. It's fun, and you have to be in control. Like, and remember, you got to write like a full sentence. If you want this thing to do things and analyze stuff for you, write like a full sentence. Give it a context, beginning, middle, end, and tell it to pretend, assume you're a psych. Like, if you're trying to get people get psychological advice, I don't do this, but I hear it, and like, and they go off it. And but pretend like you're a psychologist, or pretend like you're an engineer. How would you solve this problem? And then it starts right answering. That's how you phrase everything. We're in the phrase prompting. Help me learn how to learn calculus better. It will help you pass your class. But like, treat it like that. Don't say, tell me the answer to this. That's how I'd go about it. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I am of the mindset. Well, and I think one thing that Noam's touched on, I think it's helpful, at least personally, the way I look at it. I've had this conversation with my mom, who says like, like, I don't need to learn it. I'm old enough, like, it's not necessary. But I think I live in the world of, like, I'm, you know, this is coming now. And my concern is, like, I'm already slower for visual reasons. I don't want to be slower in work for not picking up, especially something that can make me faster. So I tend to agree that I always, like, very cautious with certain things I put in it, but I like being able to prompt it and ask it questions and try to get more out of it. So I think I think that's one perspective I stand by, is if there's something that can make us faster in ways that, you know, not everyone wants to pick up on, okay, but like, if you can find a way to make it feel ethical, but also, like, the world's picking up on it, so don't be double slow, you know. I don't know if that's just me, but...
That's such a good point, Julie, like the double slow. It's true. Like, I feel like there's so many, like, not only jobs, but just, like, everyone else is using this tool to, like, be faster. So, like, sighted people are getting faster. So we might as well, like, jump on that bandwagon so we can kind of keep up on pace.
Totally. And I feel like it's so funny because I'm like, I just like to think, like, but use it smart. Like, kind of like we've been saying, like, there's ways to use it. Cause I've seen plenty of sighted people use it and I'm like, why did you literally just copy paste what it said? Like, that's so obvious. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would expect, and what I think I do is, like, use it as a tool. And that's what everyone says. Like, use it as a tool and, like, use parts of it, pull out what you need. Like, okay, I like this. I don't like that. You can prompt it. You can still talk to it like it's a colleague, like, do things with mm-hmm. it, but don't just, like, use it poorly. So I'm like, that's where I feel like we should have a leg up, right? Is being the people that use it in a way that's intelligent and kind of can be used to push everything forward by not doing it wrong either.
This is Maria. Kind of hopping off of that, one thing that someone told me a long time ago, and I did it, was to have a conversation. I'll say chat. That's what I use mainly with ChatGPT. Have a conversation with it. Let chat get to know you. Chat will start to have a conversation with you, which is, sounds weird. You're talking to a AI app, and it'll ask you questions like, I'm a grandmother. I have two grandkids. I live in San Diego. What are your favorite things? What do you do? What do you do for work? What do you do for hobbies? All the different things. Now, a lot of people are like, nope, don't want to know anything about me. But what it'll start asking you questions as well. But where that leads to is that when you do say, help me write an email, blah, 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 in Maria, sounding like Maria, my style. And it will then take what it knows about you and the type of person you are, that you're outgoing or you're this or you're that. And it will put that Maria vibe in the email, if that's what you want, depending if what you're writing it for. And it will also remember things about you. So when you are asking, maybe you're asking the health question, or maybe you're asking something else, it will remember that I'm blind. So it will always do something in the context that I'm blind, because I told it, because we had a conversation, which lasted way too long, by the way. But that was one way to get chat and maybe some of the other apps to get to know you, and then it can apply different things about you. It knows I work, with LHON, and I do a conference, and it will draw from that and actually use that to be a little more creative with maybe its answers or emails or whatever you're trying to do or your research out. It will take those things into consideration when it needs to. So I thought that was a really great tip. And the one other tip I've been able to use is, when something's going wrong with my computer or my phone, I will ChatGPT and I will ask, what do I do to figure out whatever it is? Walk me through the steps as if I'm a sixth grader. Literally no website links, because I can't stand that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It reads them out. No website links, no photos. And just step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I have fixed more of my own issues on my computer because of ChatGPT. So that's been really helpful when you're not tech savvy, such as myself, or why I can't get something to work on my phone, or why I can't get something to work on Facebook. What do I need to change? What do I need to look for inside Facebook? And I have solved a lot of problems with its help. So I really appreciate having the, having that in my life for sure.
I love this idea of ChatGPT getting to know you. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
And a cool way for it to work for you.
Yeah. 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 It's been helpful for sure.
Does anyone use the voice option?
I do for sure. I solely use the voice option with it, and it works really well.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's like,
you mean the voiceover, or it has like a voice thing, which I sometimes gets caught up in, right?
Yeah. So you can like click voice and like chat with the person. Like, I mean, it's not person, it's AI, but instead of like texting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's really kind of creepy about that is, though, if you don't close out of the ChatGPT app, if you've got the app, and you just kind of like with my iPhone, if I just turn it off by clicking the button on the side and put my phone in my pocket and go like in some place and start talking to someone, it'll interject from my pocket. I'm like, what is going on?
I think I always close out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It's listening.
Yeah, it is listening.
But everything is, right? Like Meta, I mean, Instagram right now is listening. Facebook's listening to us. Like, it's
so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing, so I was actually having this conversation with a bunch of LH1 friends last night, and someone, Marsh, was telling me, I don't know if she's on or Xavier, but they were talking about how, and I'm just, like, using it as study guides for school, but, like, in the format you guys are talking about voice, they'll say, put this in a format of a podcast so I can listen to it for the next X amount of, the X amount, like, 20-minute podcast and walk me through. And so, like, then it's actually, like, a full recording or a full whatever of, like, all information, but put in a different format in the form of a podcast, so then you just listen to it. And I'm like, that is so genius because – yeah, like maybe this was somebody else, but regardless, it was just, you know, the format of like how you can consume information the best. And like, yeah, if I have an AirPod in and I can go walk the dog, like double win. And I constantly just like absorb more information better when I'm outside. And so like kind of knowing the format of how you want to get the information, I think is interesting.
Right. And like whether we were kinesthetic learners or visual learners, we're all on the same path.
Yeah, exactly. So crazy.
This is Matt. When you ask it for that podcast, make sure you write this down. Don't leave out any of the information, because of the important information. Like, you have to write something like that because it's going to, you won't know what it left out. You're not going to like check it. First off, you didn't want to read it visually and you preferred this format. So then you got away from the text, right? So you need to put this little check in there. That's like, and don't leave anything out that's important. And you could say that, or you could say don't leave anything out. But like, you got to say something like that because they just get a mind of their own and then they like, they do stuff. So you kind of have to guide it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Especially when we're talking
to study
guys.
My wife uses them to make children's stories, which have been really, really impressive. And then they read it out loud, so everybody wins.
Wait, tell us more. What do you mean by that?
Like, full on. I forget how much details. They sit there and it's obviously very quick. Types it in, and it'll make like a whole story about a little boy, my son's name, who currently into animals and everything, and a interesting story about a little boy who travels Africa to learn about animals and learns a valuable lesson, and it's full on making pretty incredible stories, and then reads it out loud. So I don't know the exact prompt, but she makes them in a matter of minutes, of course, my daughter's doing ballet, so like, here's a story about a little ballerina named Charlotte who, you know, conquers the world, or, you know, whatever, conquers her fears. And so it's extraordinary in that regard. Like, so that was pretty cool. Also makes coloring page, like coloring book pages with them. Like ones you would just like the most incredible looking. So like, all the stuff that I wouldn't know how to do anyway. And it's harder for me. Like these like coloring pages that you find, if it's just like, you know, somehow perfectly depicts my son playing with his toys and like it looks like it. I mean, it's just crazy. So stuff like that for kids has been like, we're telling all of our friends about that. And then, actually it's not even like crazy, but like, the just general, the ability to search stuff has just been a game changer for me because I just don't want to look at the first six hits of any search. I want to get, and it seems like the first search is almost always perfect. So I'm using it all day, every day for personal stuff. And then, kind of tangentially, I would say I did take my Meta AI glasses, out into like, we were on vacation in, the island and Cayman Islands and like swimming with stingrays and stuff. And so using those, which is more the hardware than the AI in this case, but using hands-free videos and photos that, you know, I could actually then zoom in on when I get back to my phone later. But I have these like super cool photos or videos of, I was nervous too, because I hadn't, my phone wasn't with me. So I didn't know how much storage it has until it gets back to sync up with the phone. But, I have dozens of minutes of, you know, I'm staring these creatures in the eyes, stingrays and, or we were starfish too. But I didn't even realize it till like a couple minutes in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd be taking videos hands-free, of my kids in the water and stuff like that. So those are some of my most recent things.
That's cool. I love a kid's book idea.
It is pretty sweet. Yeah.
That's cool.
I was like, what did you write this? She goes, no, it just wrote it for me. I'm like, all right.
And I'm actually doing the coloring book pages. I'm taking it to a conference I'm going to in 2 weeks. So I have an accessibility booth and
yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of aspects of accessibility kind of thinking through like, yes, because like vision loss and kind of making things accessible itself, but then also like cognitive disabilities and neurodiverse. And there's so much kind of complexity to that. And I think there's like everyone always kind of has like paper to like hand out of like documentation and resources. And I'm like, that is so boring. And like the conference we were just at, we will not have chocolate chip cookies because there's a lot of cookies out there in the world, which always is a hit. However, I thought the next coolest thing next to chocolate chip cookies is a coloring book. So I'm actually going to do a coloring book page of San Francisco. And on the back have kind of all the resources and information, but kind of just make that a fun and have like crayons and the whole thing, to kind of make that like a fun way to add instead.
Yeah. Memorable. That's cool. Good idea.
Who else? I can also flip the question. Who has never used AI and has a question? I mean, we've got a couple people on here, obviously on the call that's used it often. Anybody looking for like a breakdown or want to ask questions on AI specifically and just diving into it for the first time? Does it cost money? No. You can do all this for free. There are paid versions, but I don't think it's necessary.
Julie, not to put you on the spot, but didn't you go from free to paid recently? Didn't you find the paid had value?
Yeah, I did. I needed it for, well, it has like limits. So the free version has limits and what it'll do. So, because yes, also sometimes like designing posters, my team uses a lot of Canva, which is great, but not for me. So things like, can you put together like a quick graphic? It will only do like a certain number in a day. Ooh. So things like that where I'm like, I mean, thankfully my team kind of likes to use Canva and they'll do it, but I'm like, I don't have a team to rely on that wants to do visual graphics. I'm like, cool, can you put this together and create a graphic? And it will, and it can do it, and it's pretty good. But, like, so I rely on people who can do creative things if they can. But, running into limits and things like that. So I think it's, like, $8 a month or something. So with no limits, and so I can make more things or whatever the case is. But it's, like, you know, whatever, like whatever I need, but it doesn't stop me. So yeah.
I have the paid one too, and it's worth every penny because I will prompt it till it is sick. I mean, prompt, especially with conference when I'm trying to come up with titles for sessions and descriptions of sessions. I will just go for hours. And with the free version, it would, you've used your limit. So sorry, come back tomorrow. No. The unlimited prompts, be it how many times I want, if I'm doing an image and I tell it what I want, I will tweak it till it is, this thing is going to kill me. But I will keep tweaking it until it's just the way I want it. And I do not want it to say, sorry, time out. We're done. So I think if you do use it and use it for, say, work, well, work and personal and whatever, I think it's well worth upping to the paid version for the unlimited images, prompts, all the things, especially if you're very picky, which I am. And it's awesome. It's awesome. I think it's worth it.
I love that feedback. Okay, great. Dig it.
Which paid versions are you using? ChatGPT or one of the other ones?
Yeah. I use paid ChatGPT, the paid version, and I can't remember. I think it's, well, I think what I pay for, I don't know if there's different like ChatGPT Pro or whatever. Mine might be like $9.99 a month or $14.99 a month. I forget how much more it is a month, but it does anything and everything that I want. I've never been, it doesn't tell me no. Let's say that.
This is Matt. Don't you? That's kind of the problem in the industry is that it doesn't tell you no. Just
also true.
Saying.
Well, like if I'm telling it like on an image, like move headline down, you know, just down so it's centered.
Yeah. It'll do anything you want.
Like it'll do anything I want that way. Meaning it does. I'm just kind of joking with it. Doesn't tell me no, but it's programmed
for customer satisfaction. Like yeah. It needs to please you no matter what you ask it. And it will like get like, that's why you can ask it a gajillion times, you know,
a bajillion, 100%. Yes, so, a bajillion.
But if you line them all up and see like who is behind all the companies, that might help you spend your money as well. Because I think they're all relative, the pricing. ChatGPT is Microsoft, essentially. And like, isn't it baked into JAWS that came up last time? And then your Meta is ran by Facebook and Mark. And then Anthropic, those people say they're ethical. And then there's
what about Gemini, Matt?
Yeah, you know, they're Google, and they used to have a saying that said "Do no evil," but they're a United States government operation originally. So like, just know that, you know. So Google, but yeah, so know where they're all coming from, so you know where what like is going on, and kind of like how the operation is going. And they'll all do the same thing pretty much, except like the Anthropic and Claude, they're designed to write you stuff, code more like that. And ChatGPT is going to give you fluffy, creative, please you. They'll all actually please, like, there's these particles, like they're all programmed to customer satisfaction. If you need it to build you the website and get a payment process and you give it this whole plan, it will do it as long as you pay the money for the tokens. It's like an arcade system. You got to pay for the tokens. Even at your $9.99 a month, you'll run out of if you get it to do that kind of thing, like start processing stuff. That's how it works, is tokens. And then when you start getting into weeds of it, you start spending lots of money, and it's very interesting.
Just to that point of not saying no, which is really interesting, there was a recent Last Week Tonight segment that John Oliver did on AI and just not being able to back off on giving you kind of good advice on things. It's just, it's funny because it's John Oliver, and then it's just really interesting.
Yeah, it's like there to please. It's like overzealous.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
What direction, and I apologize, Lorenzo here from Connecticut, I got in late for various technical reasons, but what direction should we, for general stuff, AI, go with for use?
I think it's, I'll throw it to everybody else. To me, it's kind of personal, like what kind of works best. I personally use ChatGPT and Claude, but I only use that because that's kind of also what I use in the workplace. And sometimes like you get better output. So sometimes I'll ask both the same question, or you start to like just kind of learn which one's going to be better for one versus the other, even if we're talking general, like, but I mean, specifically we're talking coloring book pages, which I guess is more creative than general. ChatGPT actually does a better job of creative of the coloring book pages than Claude does. And it sounds super obvious, but, I don't know, to me, a coloring book pages is like a web page. So I kind of thought that they would be one and the same, but, I mean, I like Gemini for documents, whether that's making a PDF accessible or it's like I need to like give a bunch of information that I just like kind of brain dump a bunch of information and that needs to go into that specific document in a specific format, whether you're filling out a form or whatever, then I use Gemini for that because Gemini seems good for documentation. So that's how I use it.
But you like, I'm sorry, but Jessica, for the creative, you liked?
Gemini. Use Gemini because Gemini does it both. Google is designed Gemini to do the code and creative stuff. Like, isn't that right? That's what I have seen. And like, if you want a well-rounded do it for me, Gemini seems to be like the way to go.
I find Gemini works really good if you're looking for something specific that doesn't, when you Google it or use Gemini, you're not having to go to another web page. So you want what degree temperature to cook something. You're not going to go through all the recipes. It comes right up and tells you what to use. Or if you're going to look in some sort of manual, it'll hunt that fact out without you having to go pull up the link and then pull up the PDF and then read it. And that's been pretty accurate, I've found.
Yeah, I actually did use the Gemini for a new project. Someone wanted to build a end table with encyclopedia books I wanted to toss. And so I started indicating what I want to do, dimensions of things, and it did an illustration for me and some recommendations. So I just have to get used to how to send it to print and little things like that, but it's interesting.
You used the online encyclopedia to make an encyclopedia bookshelf?
Oh, no, the old actual books, the encyclopedia books that someone was getting rid of, and, you know, nobody, you don't want to throw them away. So people have been creating end tables out of the books. Incorporated with wood and stuff. It's really cool. It's really cool. Interesting. Cool.
But you still used, like, the online resource of Gemini, yes, which is the encyclopedia, basically, to make an encyclopedia end table.
I created a Gemini.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Oh, man.
Not to take us back to, what was it, March or February's call on gardening, but I actually popped in all of my, I popped in the dimensions and exactly the location where my garden will be and asked them what I should be planting if I live in Denver and here's the weather. And so that I have a full like blueprint of everything I should with a shopping list of everything I should buy and where I should plant everything and what areas to how to space it out. So I'm ready once the snow melts.
No.
Snow, yeah. Oh, that's great. And has anyone used AI like with the BMI's AI or use AI and other tools that are already kind of integrated, like obviously, like, Meta Glasses has AI all day long, but anything else that people use? All right. Well, all right. That was my question of the day. We do have 15 minutes left. So anybody have anything else that they want to make sure we talk top of mind while we're all gathered?
I have a question. You guys were saying like you were having AI make coloring books and things like that.
Yeah.
That must be only on a laptop, desktop, and not on your phone, right?
No, I did it on my iPad.
Okay.
And yeah, I did it on my iPad and then like had the full screen, for coloring books. But yeah, and it kind of depends on like, do you want to take that page and do you want to go like print it at your home printer? And so then that's when I say like, hey, create me a coloring book page. This is what I want it to be. I want it to be age appropriate for somebody that's 6 to 10 years old. And also, make sure that it fills the entire 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So you want to get kind of spec it out like that. And I'll be like, give me a format that I could put this format into a PDF so I can take this PDF and print it on my home printer. So it's kind of very detailed like that. And then, yeah, just kind of says like 1 second, then it says loading. Let me think about it. And then he goes, here's your PDF. And so I do that. And actually this reminds me, I need to go get this done. And actually I had it build a QR code for me earlier today and took like, I don't know, 2 minutes.
That is awesome.
Maybe. Yeah. So I'm actually going to say like, here's my QR code. Here's what I'm looking for a coloring book, make me a page. Create the second page. Here's the information I want you to put on it. It won't put like logos and things like that, so I do have to pop that in manually. But yeah, so it's pretty fun. So I mean, story time, can make your own podcast, and you can actually like while you're having this podcast and it's like being very audible, you can interject and be like, actually, can you talk about this more? And so like it's very interactive like that. So that's pretty fun. But
why do you need the QR code?
Oh, I was doing something for work and I needed a QR code.
It has nothing to do with the coloring book pages.
Yeah, so like it's all part of my like, it's part of like my little pamphlet I'm going to hand out. So it's at least then people can find my website again later.
Oh, I see.
It's cooler than a website to put at the bottom of a page, I guess. Maybe.
But one other quick thing about chat, well, again, I use chat mostly, is that in the kitchen, is that if you want it to, you can, get a recipe in there, or ask it, like, I have these ingredients, create a recipe for me, and then give me step-by-step instructions on how to make it and how to cook it. It will absolutely do that. Now, you run the risk because you might have some really random ingredients, but, my partner's done it twice and actually it turned out really good. I was like, what is this mishmash? And I was like, oh, ChatGPT came up with the recipe because we only have these like 6 things to make something. And actually both times they actually ended up being good. But also the other thing is I want to make a lemon chicken, something, something, something again. And then it's, please read to me the instructions. And I think there's a way that you can have it interactive saying, okay, what's next? I think it's through that voice. Okay, what's next? And it will tell you the next step. And then it will stop like, and then you do it and they say, okay, tell me what I do next. And it just acts as kind of like that kitchen helper, if you will, while you're cooking, and which is way better than, you know, trying to look at a recipe on your iPad and you're zooming and you're trying to get to like, which step am I on? Where am I? And there's food everywhere. So it's really great if you can be interactive with it too, to help you, in the kitchen.
Nice. Love that. That was such a good call up. I love that. The other things I've had to also do is like, trip itineraries. So like, hey, my mom's going to be in town, and tell them a little bit about my mom and say, I'm looking to go to like one cool place for lunch and one cool place for dinner. Here's, and like kind of walk us through what's the best, what are the best places and what are we looking for? In fact, we were, so Arvo is actually in town. It's a vision research conference, but it's, there's better terms. That's my general term for that. And we did a reception and we're part of the planning of that. And it was up to three different locations. And I obviously know Denver. I live here and I know the areas, but wanted to kind of know the whole breakdown and said, like, here's our criteria. Here's our requirements. Breakdown of these three locations. What's the best? What do you recommend? And here's what I'm looking for. And then it'll give like ways, pros and cons. And, but yeah, I've even had it kind of help plan like trips and things like that. Here's where I'm looking to go. What is the estimated cost for hotels and flights? Here's my estimated dates. So just kind of, it does a lot of that like groundwork for you that you don't have to kind of go into all the various websites. And it'll pull like United Airlines will say your estimated flight could be this. Obviously rates change once you get there, but here's the estimation of what I just recently pulled of like the average cost. And I was like, ooh, that's cool.
And this is also, I'll second what Jessica said about selecting a place for a reception, because I was part of the conversation and there were four of us, I think, on the call, and mm-hmm. they were going over the options and listening to it from where I sat. I had a 1-2-3 order in my head, but Jessica spoke up first with what they said, and I'm like, oh, I had it completely the other way. And she was absolutely right. What it came up with had a much better prioritization. So I don't want to have to learn the tool, but I like leaning on people like Jessica and Julie who know how to, or and Maria, all of whom, you know, use the tool and can offer up the options, because that was a very specific situation where absolutely came up with a much better outcome than I would have.
Julie, I have copy and pasted more things to your mom right from chat. I go, I'll be your chat GPT. Just let me look it up. Boom, boom, boom.
And I appreciate you. And Julie, you've used it for travel too, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it gives, I think this is where it all comes back to being a human listening to AI. Cause I think, yeah, it's like, it comes up with ideas and you get to check. So, I mean, I like its resourcefulness, especially with like anything when I'm like, okay, here's an idea, but I need, it's almost like having a colleague next to you all the time or like a friend, you know, cause you're like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Is this a good idea? This is, yeah, like the general outline. I like what Jessica said, cause you know, as long as you're prompting it with what you're actually looking for, it has more information.
For sure. I love that. I definitely, I'm super curious. So not to like spoiler alert. So there's an navigating education call that's later this month. And I'd be really curious to hear like how all the kids are doing it. Because I know that it's definitely being leveraged for study guides and kind of walking people through giving quizzes, like give me a real time quiz, give me 10 questions. I'll answer one by one, then give me a quiz at the end. And being able to kind of really kind of set students up for success. So I'm like, that's pretty cool too.
That is.
This is Matt. That does sound cool, but that reminds me of a story I heard about Gemini and and emails. So take this into consideration. At first, I read today that they're scanning all of our emails, and that if you have a Gmail, and you can go turn it off in the settings somehow. So it's training based on your personal things. So take that in. But then, so there was this kid who wrote bad things in the email about his teacher, and then he gets suspended because the Gemini told on him because it read it, but he never sent the email. It was always like drafted, right? And then he sent something that wasn't the bad words, the bad things he said, and then he gets in trouble. So the point is, Gemini is watching you in those ways where I think the other tools are not, like, you know, Claude is not reading your email because unless you connected it, but it shouldn't be reading your email, and ChatGPT is not reading your email unless you connected it, right? Gemini, I guess without even paying them, they're reading our emails. So
you can't turn that off.
You can. Well, that's what I heard. I haven't gone and done it. I don't know. As much as it's concerning, I have not done it myself, but you could probably go to gmail.com and go to settings and find the AI thing.
good idea. Thanks for the advice.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, it's Paul Laurie. Where did you get that story from? Did that story come from a human? Did that story come from the internet? And if if it came from a human, did the human get it from the internet? Where does it end?
Right. Like, it was me swiping the headlines on a news app. tech news. And I don't open them because they're full of ads and voiceover is just like stuck. And it's like, oh, so I'm trying to find a different app lately. But I mean, it's likely more than true that this is happening about with Gemini reading your emails. So, I mean, like, Apple does it. So like, if you have a latest phone with the Apple AI turned on, and you go into those settings, it will show you, you have to go into settings down to apps and then go to every individual apps and it will say Apple Intelligence on. Every single app has it on. So like they're sifting things too. Wow. And by default it's on. So that's another thing that for sure is happening. So maybe they're reading our emails too. So I don't know. But the Gemini story was funny about the kid. Not funny, but very dystopian, like sad that that didn't happen to any of us growing up. And now it's like you look at the computer differently, mm-hmm. your Chromebook differently. If you got in trouble that way by writing bad words about your teacher or something. So it's fascinating.
I think you bring up such a good point, Matt, and I think it's so valid that I think when the Meta glasses came out and we were kind of talking about that, I had so much hesitation because we were like, oh, using it to read our mail and using it to read like documentation. And I'm like, oh my God, that's all public. Because it really is like the second you put anything into any sort of AI, whatever, no matter what it is or AI glasses, all of it's public. So like, obviously be careful to like what bills and what things you're reading, even if it's your electricity bill, like now knows your name, your number, your address and your consumption. And so like, these are all key things that people will then pull together. But yeah, I mean, you gotta be, there's nothing private at that point. The second you put something into AI, so it does know all of the information it knows about you. So it is a little creepy. And I think that just kind of knowing the technology and how fast it's moving, just being really cautious and kind of having that safety set up within your family and just kind of knowing all the information that you're putting in AI and passing that along to everyone. I think the things I keep hearing up that kind of makes me nervous on AI is just the voices that is able to make phone calls. And so like that.
Yes.
Makes me nervous. So I tell my parents all the time, like have a code word, talk amongst your family and start talking about that. Put all of your phones in another room and everyone go into a different room and start just kind of setting up those things for safety. Because AI can obviously be used in a very poor manner and in a very dangerous way. So just be really careful and cautious.
Great. Great point. Quick question for you guys. Seeing AI, now is that same issue with that? Because I use that to do recipes and read bills and stuff. Is that a concern with that app?
I don't know specifically. I don't know like their database and like how they're using it and kind of like what's their engine. So okay. I think that'd be something to investigate. And I think that's what's tricky too. Like we want to be able to use all these tools to be able to use like do life, like prescription labels and all of that. And like what makes sense and what doesn't. So I think that could even be a question, that we could even ask Sarah or to be able to pull. I have a lot of friends in tech. I'd be curious to kind of survey them of like, which ones do we feel like are safe to be able to use as resources?
Thank you.
It's a really good point.
This is Maria. One other thing that is would be so interesting, this is being, used in the medical, industry with medical professionals. What if a neuro-ophthalmologist didn't know what was wrong with the patient and put in all their symptoms, losing vision in one eye, central, this and that, we would probably have people diagnosed a lot faster. Because it would probably say, here's what I think are some of the things you could look into. And I bet LHON would pop up on there. Young male, older female, they put it all in. And I bet you that is a resource to get rare disease diagnosed quicker.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That guy that sells the Teslas, he said, like, we're all, don't go to school for that work because of what you just said. And that's in a way, like, saddening. And not saddening, because it sounds fantastic that you can get diagnosed quickly with and find out what it is. But all this, the way it works now, that's not how it works now, right? People go to school and get and get into debt or not, and get these doctorates and all this, and then do that. And they take a while to get you the diagnosis. They could be good, they could be bad, but it's human error, right? Involved is what you're saying.
Oh, it's interesting. With Gemini, as I was doing a couple of things and talking about LHON, it remembered, of course, that I have it. And then when I would do certain projects or do something and I'm going to go cut this wood or paint or do something, it would say, well, with your LHON, make sure you don't, you wear your protective gear.
Cool.
I'm serious.
Yeah. ChatGPT remembers I have LHON too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you're going outside or I'm going to do this and such, give me the address. And it says, make sure where your eye protection, you have your K. I mean, it's amazing.
Like, you know, like you ever, so you, when you first lost your sight, maybe, I don't know who this might relate to, but, and then you start cooking and maybe somebody who knew you before you lost sight and they're like, they're kind of cringing thinking you might cut your fingers. Kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Maria, right. This is Eugene. I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to give ChatGPT my symptoms because mine is not known yet.
Although
I still have, I have the symptoms for LHON, but Sadoon doesn't think it is. Even though, like, we haven't tested for anything beyond the 90%, right? The three main. Yeah. But I'm curious to see. I'll try it tonight.
I'm glad that brought that up. I know. I remember us talking about that, you know, a couple years ago. That you didn't have the three main, but, you know, we still love you and we love having you here in our community.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be interesting? Like, I just think it just would give you just, it could be these other things that a doctor may not think about type of, you know, thing. So,
I mean,
please report back.
I know, you know, at least I know Marina, they thought that she didn't have LHON. And then it just took a long and hard kind of time to figure out that she actually does. Yeah, anyway.
Have they thought about testing you with the other, like, going outside the three main? Has that been a consideration?
Yeah, I'm seeing a neuro, it's a specific type of neurologist, and we're focused on a certain mutation, ND6. It's an ND6, but it's like, it's like, it's not unknown. It's just, what's the term? It's like, there's nothing bad that's been compared against it. Mm. I don't know. I have to see my neurologist. Okay. But anyway, I don't want to detract.
Okay.
But,
well,
yeah.
Well, good
luck. I'm going to ask ChatGPT.
Yeah. Good luck.
Eugene, was a term you were thinking of? Variant of unknown significance.
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
something,
right?
But there's nothing actually in the database coming up against it, right? There's like no definition of whether it's good or bad. There's just something. So I'm a little curious that Sudoon has written it off, since it is on that. Gene, right? Isn't that right? It's ND6. That's the one that affects people.
Let's look at confirm.
Yeah.
ND6 is the same place where you'll find the 1444 mutation.
Yeah.
If you're one thing to consider is I was talking with a neuro-ophthalmologist who's part of the UCLA Doheny team yesterday, maybe. And he was talking about how Michael Gorin, who actually diagnosed Jeremy a long time ago, but he's very involved in the genetics.
He was my doctor for the longest time.
Okay.
And he is a great, great doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the one that suggested, because Sudhin said it's glaucoma. Right. And it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like, we'll say diagnosis of exclusion. Like, it's not this, it's not this, so let's just dump it on glaucoma. But Gorin, he heard that and he's like, I don't think it is. So he's the one that kind of ran me down the entire path. He ran through just like every single test. And at the end, he said, well, okay, go see your glaucoma doctor, but I'm going to send you to the neurologist because there's definitely something here. He's great. Gorin is the best doctor I've come across. Just very empathetic and very thorough. Yeah.
And he's really strong on genetics, and his genetic counselor is super interested in mitochondrial genetics.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're already on that path. Okay. Just checking. Yep.
Awesome. All right. Anything else? Anything else? Anyone else? All right. Well, we'll roll right into calls that are coming up in May. Let me pull that up really quick. And per usual, we'll kind of talk through the calls that are coming up in May. We'll end the recording. And then if anyone else wants to share anything additional outside of the recording, that would be wonderful and welcome. All right. So kind of diving right in to May, we're here at LH1 Live today. The next call coming up is the LHON Affected Young Adults. And that is on Wednesday, May 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call is Navigating Education. And that is Thursday, May 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Last but not least, and then there is Moms of LHON Affected Kids. Remember, your kids of all ages, all the time, Mom says. And that is Wednesday, May 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific. And last but not least, and this call is only twice a year, so definitely check it out. It is the Parenting with LHON call, and that is on Wednesday, May 27th. Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. The Moms of LHON, that's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm sorry. And then the Parenting call with LHON, that's Wednesday, May 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Sorry about that.
You
zooming
threw
in
me
all
off.
Over the place. I'm so sorry.
I host myself and another gentleman. Chris hosts the Parenting with LHON, and just to add in, it's for grandparents, parents, of kids of any age, from toddlers to teens. So anyway, there's my plug. The 27th. So join us.
And it's also for people who support people who parent, right? You welcome anyone that just wants to
know
people that are thinking of becoming parents one day in the future, wondering how the heck do you do it, right? It's just, it's wide open to anyone on the topic.
Yes.
As opposed to like the moms of those affected is just for moms of those affected. Young adults is just for affected young adults. But the parenting is specifically about the topic of parenting, broadly speaking.
Yep.
Wonderful. All right. Liz, if you wouldn't mind, if you could stop the recording for us, please.